Praise God, brothers and sisters. My whole prayer throughout this week was God to give me strength to speak today. There's nothing else I prayed for. And yeah, it seems to be going okay. Amen? And but it's this period is the only period in my life where I have two strong emotions at the same time. It has never, ever in my life has happened before. I thought, man, this is so interesting. On one hand, I'm so excited. All right? I can't wait to leave. And say, oh, now we're not going to cry for you. On the other hand, this probably last week was the saddest period of my life. And for those of you who saw me on Friday, I said, Lord, if this happens on Sunday, it's not good. Okay. And I just prayed and prayed and prayed. And praise God, it's a time to rejoice today. All right. Rejoice. I'm happy to see what God is doing in our church and able to see what, you know, there's a lot ahead of me. I'm getting married. Amen. That's a good thing. That's an exciting thing. And marrying a beautiful woman, Suma. And by the way, if you haven't visited our site, go to Sam. You know, she asked me, like, why are the church people not writing any message to me? So if you have time, go to www.samandsuma.com, all right, and leave a message for Suma. Tell her how to be a great wife. Amen. All right, and pray for me too. And, but yeah, it's been a, so I'll be leaving tomorrow morning, early morning. I'll be flying to Hong Kong, and then from there, I'll fly to Chicago. And, you know, it's a standby ticket. So if it's all packed, I was like checking every day, Lord, you know, some business first seats available. And so I'll just fly, and then I'll be back. Amen. One of the things that really helped, and God made me, you know, I was so sad, and think about it on Friday and, you know, yesterday. I cried like so many times while preparing a message. But God said, hey, you're coming back. I said, praise God. All right, God said, why did I give you a free, unlimited, first-class business traveling so that you will come back? Amen? So literally, I can come back anytime I want. All right, I said, okay, that's not too bad. You know. And another thing is, if you want me to come back, right, you need to do one thing. You need to get married. Okay? Because that's the only thing that will bring me back. Okay? So that's why I'm coming back on July for Christian Aaron's wedding. I'm officiating it. Praise God. And I'm coming back again. All right? I don't know this year who will be. You know, for the second could be some of you. And I'm coming back next year for Brian and Jenny's wedding. Was I not supposed to announce it? All right, it's too late anyway. All right. You didn't even propose, did you? All right, okay. Sorry, you know, just pretend you didn't hear me. All right, so they asked me to officiate their wedding too, so I'm going to come back. And if you want me to come back this year again, let me know. All right? And you know how to get me back. But I'm, of course. But before I start my message, and today would be a little different. You know, it's a tradition of our GAC team that when people leave, they give their special sharing, right? So today is going to be a special sharing / preaching, all right? And I want to tell you what, you know, last Friday I was so moved to hear, you know, what God had just, you know, as you shared about me and all those things. But today I want to share how, you know, people come and share how GAC team has transformed their lives, amen? And you all shared, and you shared, you know, how, you know, God used me, and, you know, how God used the church. Today I want to share how JSCM has transformed my life, okay, being your pastor. And so I want to share on that. But before we do that, you know, God, you know, one of my concerns before I'm leaving, and I said, Lord, before I'm sure to leave, I need to know who will take over from me. Because I will not leave unless you show me. And then God won't show me. I said, Lord, I prayed and prayed and prayed, but praise God, we have a new pastor. Amen? And I can tell you, Christian is a man of God. Okay, God has used him tremendously to bless our church, and you know, God is going to use. I promise, God is going to use him in a powerful way in this church. Okay, God is going to use. So I'm going to share how the last transition happened and how it affected me. You know, and but one thing I'll tell you, he needs your support. Okay, it's hard to be a pastor or a leader without your people's support. Right. So I don't know how you're feeling today. You know, I told you I'm the saddest. Right, so, and excited and sad at the same time, right? But how we respond to this transition is really important. Now, a lot of you are thinking, okay, Pastor Zaman is gone. You know, maybe I should look for another church. And I'll tell you, unless God puts you very strongly in your heart, that's not what God wants you to do. Okay, I can tell you very, very sure, right? Because as I will share today, when the transition happens, it's a very unstable time, all right? And God wants you to go through it. If you go around it, you'll come back to it. Right? One thing I've learned in life is if you go around it, better to go through it rather than around it. Go around it, you take the same test again. And if you know, again and again. All right, that's why Israelites were on the same mountain over and over and over again. Right? So that's not a good thing. So if you want to keep moving forward, you need to stay and support this church. All right, support this church, and I can assure you, this is exactly what God wants you to do at this time. All right, and if you are thinking differently, if you are thinking, oh, you know, I'm just here, I'm just, you know, looking around. This is probably a good time for me to leave, or you know, today. It's not good for you. All right, it's not where God wants you to go. All right, and I can tell you with assurance, unless you have a specific, very particular calling from God. All right. And that is really important, my brother and sister. I'll tell you how it affected my life and how that will be important. But before we do that, I want to invite Christian forward. He's our new pastor. All right. I want all the congregation to stand up. And I want some of the elders and other people to come forward. No. Come forward. Bob and James and you know some other people, the pastors to come forward. The other pastors. Brian to come forward. Oh, actually, Brian, you should be here too. And Mina. Mina also come forward. Okay. What do you guys? All right. And these two are your new pastors. Amen? And they have been not appointed by man. They have been appointed by who? God himself. All right? We don't choose our leaders. We don't even have a choice. It's God who appoints the leaders, and it's our responsibility to follow and respect our leaders, right? Even when sometimes when we don't understand, even when they are not perfect, even when you don't understand everything, all right? That is really important. So as we're going to pray over our new pastors, you know, pray for, you know, Christian and Brian, right? And we're going to start, but also pray for your heart, okay? Pray that God will give you a submissive heart. That is important, my brothers and sisters. All right? And one of the things the devil would do during this time is to stir your heart. Okay? Oh, he was not the pastor. He was just my friend. Not anymore. Okay? All right? He's your friend, but also your leader and pastor. And that's why he deserves your respect. They deserve your respect. They deserve your obedience. Because God always works through the leadership. Amen? Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. So why don't we stretch forth your hand? Stretch forth your hand. And I want somebody to get on music here and just pray. And lay your hands on them, all right? And pray that God will bless them, God will anoint them. It's a time of commissioning for them, all right? Pray that God will use them in a powerful way. Pray that they will be spiritual leaders who are sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, sensitive to the Spirit, that, you know, the words that they speak as they preach, they will know exactly, you know, what God wants them to say. Pray that God will help them to counsel. Pray that God will strengthen them. Pray that God will give them boldness and courage. More than anything else, pray that God's anointing will rest in a powerful way even today. That they will receive it and receive it in their heart, receive it in their mind, and that they would walk in boldness, my brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Father, let your name be glorified, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the head of the church, Lord. It's not my church, it's not Muksanim Samlim's church, Lord, but JSCM belongs to you, Lord Jesus. And you have established this church, not for anybody's glory, but your glory, Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you have demonstrated your power. You have demonstrated your presence in this church, oh God. And I pray right now, Lord Jesus, for our new pastors, for Christian and Brian, Lord Jesus. Father, right now I pray in the name of Jesus. Father, as we stretch and as I lay my hands on you, on them, Lord Jesus. Father, we bless them in your name, Lord Jesus. And free, we pray, Father, let your anointing cover them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, Lord Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, would you surround them, Lord Jesus. Father, may your hand of protection be upon them, Lord Jesus. Father, I know that as they take this position of leadership, Lord, Father, the devil will try to attack them, will try to discourage them, Lord. But Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, let there be a wall of fire around them, Lord Jesus. Father, let no weapons formed against them shall prosper, Lord Jesus. Will not prosper, oh God. Because, Lord, you have called them, Lord. Keep them strong, Lord. Keep them courageous, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, that you will continue to build them in their heart, a pastoral heart, Lord Jesus, a heart of love, a heart of compassion, Lord Jesus, a heart of humility, Lord Jesus, a heart that seeks for you, Lord, a heart that seeks for your glory, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for my brothers, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the wonderful example that they have been to this community already, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you have raised their influence already, Lord. You've been already preparing them, Lord Jesus. You've been already preparing them from the time they were born for a time as this, Lord Jesus. And Father, right now I pray, Lord, that you will lift them up, Lord Jesus. You will lift them up, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Make them strong. May they be courageous for your glory, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for all of us, Lord, here in this church. We pray, Father, that you will help us. That, Father, we will be obedient to your will, Lord Jesus. Amen. Father, we don't appoint leaders, Lord. It's you who appoints leaders because your church, again. You decide what's good, not us deciding, Lord Jesus. And, Father, you have decided to appoint them, Lord Jesus. And, Father, we pray that you will bless them. And, Father, give us a heart of obedience, Lord. Help us to respect our leaders, Lord Jesus, for your glory, Lord. And, Father, I also take this time to pray for Mina, Lord. And I thank you for the wonderful girl that she is, Lord Jesus. A sweet girl that she is, Lord, most of the time. And Lord, I pray, Father, that Lord, as she's taking as administrator in this church, oh God, I pray, Father, for your special blessing upon her, Lord. Father, give her wisdom how to organize this church, Lord. Give her a heart of compassion, Lord, to be a leader in this church. We also pray for Pastor Dustin and Josephine, Lord, who will be continuing here. I pray, Father, for your anointing to continue on them, Lord Jesus. Father, we give you glory, Lord Jesus. And Father, we give you honor and praise. Because not our kingdom, but Lord, but your kingdom may come, Lord. Not our will, but your will be done, Lord Jesus. For yours, to you belong all the glory, honor, and praise, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, my special sharing starts here. As I was reflecting this week, actually, how I was going to preach a different message. I was not going to preach, but you know, God works in different ways. On Friday, a lot of you shared, and then Christian shared. One of the things he shared is, in the beginning, how his attitude, not his attitude, like how he saw me so differently than what he sees now, right? Part of the reason he shared is how it was so hard for him to respect me, right? How it was so hard for him to understand my messages, right? And how, and he saw, And as he said that, it just brought flashes of 2 years before me. You know, like, and it just started bringing, what has God done in my life? All right? And so when he was sharing and how he shared, you know, some of the things, and then I said, Lord, that was God speaking to me and reminding me of something. All right? And how God has worked in my life for the last 2 years. All right? And, but as I was reading this, I felt like what Paul felt. When I took over GACM, my brother and sister, this is what I felt. As Paul said, I came to you in weakness, fear, and with trembling. And that was true. A lot of you know, by the way, how many of you were during the transition time? I would like for you to stand up. If you were here, if you're a part of the transition, is that it? Where did the rest of the people go? Okay, if you were here during the transition, stand up. Wow, praise God. Brother and son, give them a hand. They stayed through the transition. Is this all we have from the transition? Wow. So the rest of you, where did you come from? Oh, when did you come? Wow. So there's only a few people left from the transition. Most of them have gone back home. When the transition was happening, you know, and for me, I never planned to stay in Korea. All right. My plan was after I finished my studies, you know, to go to the States to do my PhD, and that's what I wanted to do. You know? And so there were churches already waiting for me. You know, this church in Chicago, where Suma is from, they've been asking me for a long time, when are you coming? When are you coming? When are you? When I went to New York, they were like, when are you coming? When are you coming? Like, because they all want me to preach in the States, you know, because I'm a young Indian, you know. By the way, somebody, people tell me when I go to America, I'm going to take my glasses off because Suma doesn't like it. Hallelujah. Amen. You know why he's saying hallelujah? Because he broke my glass. In our small group, he came and hugged me so much that he broke my. So this is a brand new one. I got it yesterday. Brother, you better pay for it. So that's why he's saying hallelujah. I probably won't take it off. But people say, hey, when you take your glasses off, you look more Indian. So I say, hey, what am I supposed to look? Right? I thought I was Indian. And so I put the glasses back on today. I was like, okay, I'm not going to wear contacts. I'm going to look more non-Indian today for you guys. And, you know, I think, it wasn't you, Tracy? She said, no. Who was it? And they didn't come and say, oh, wow, you look more Indian. They say, you look more Indian without your glasses. That hurt. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I like being Indian. Amen? Indians are good people. And so what happened is during the transition, I mean, I was not planning to stay. And during this time, you know, God started putting my heart that probably there's more that God wants to do in Korea. And then me and Pastor Dave, we got together. Pastor Dave was the pastor of this church before. And we got together for a lunch. He said, hey, because we were like best friends in school. We always argued together, fought together, and it was fun. Right? We say, okay, maybe God wants us to do something together. So I left my previous church, and in my previous church, I was an assistant pastor, and there was another pastor, right? And so I came to GSCM, and then I served here for 1 year, right? And part of the reason I came here to plant church with Pastor Dave, right? But during the whole process, during the later end, God started putting in my heart that I should stay, right? Because God put a very strong conviction in my heart. Because the problem is, if both of us leave, everybody would leave, and that's how it was, you know, was going to happen. God put a very strongly in my heart that GACM needs to exist, right? I remember thinking, God says, I have planted GACM, right? And GACM needs to stay. I said, cool, Lord, if you want GACM to stay, that's all right. But guess who God chose? God said, it's you. And because I kept ignoring it. I said, Lord, this is not what I was not planning to stay here for a long time. You know, this is not what I wanted to do. And God was like, nope, you're not going to move. You're going to stay. But there were a couple of problems in staying, okay? First thing, I never planned it. Second thing, I didn't want to be the lead pastor. Okay? With Pastor Davis, was okay, but I never thought that I could be the lead pastor. Right? I knew, you know, I grew up in a pastor's home. I knew what the life of a pastor is like. It's not easy to be a lead pastor of the church. And so I didn't want to be a lead pastor. I didn't think I would have the ability to be a lead pastor. Second thing, I didn't know how to preach. All right? And still don't know much, you know? But back time, I did not. I was serving in the other church, there was other pastor, I rarely preached. Okay? And I didn't think preaching. I had a strong pastoral calling, but I was trying to avoid that because I said, Lord, I don't have the gift of preaching, right? And I don't have the gift of public speaking. Because every time I spoke in public, it was a disaster. People were sleeping. I said, Lord, this is not good. And the first experience I had of public speaking was in college. I was chosen to represent a group, and we had no notes, right? You are supposed to go up there and memorize the whole thing, right? And go up there. And when I went there, people like cheered, and before I know it, and you cannot take notes with you. I forgot. And I'm like, no. Guess what I did? I went back and sat down. And it was such an embarrassing time in my life. Because people were so expecting of me. You know, they sent me and they're here. And it was like representing all different, you know, schools. Right? And there I was. I said, Lord, what a fool. I knew I didn't have it. Why did I even accept it? I tried one more time. That was a disaster. So I concluded, okay, public speaking is not for me. All right? And my dad is a pastor. He's always trying to push me. Right? You know, I grew up as like a pastor's son. He would say, Sam, you know, we would have all these missionaries come and he would ask me to translate for them. And I didn't have the guts to stand before people and translate. Right? So one day my dad is like, he's a little pushy, not like me. Some of you think I'm pushy, right? What he did, one Sunday morning, he just called me out of seat. He said, Sam, come and translate. And I remembered coming and I was like shivering. Like, I was so scared. I was like stammering and, you know, all this thing. But finally, that was over. I said, Lord, I told my dad, if you ever do that again, all right, I'm not going to come back. Like, it's going to be like really bad, you know. And then that happened. Then I came to seminary. And I was ministering. I mean, I was not ministering. I was the assistant pastor in this church. But the other pastor, I was one of the assistant pastors. The other pastor, you know, usually preach every Sunday. And I didn't get to preach. But then in the seminary, praise God, there are preaching classes, right? You learn how to preach. But guess what happened? When my turn, you know, they're like mandatory, you know, like subjects, the courses that you need to take every week. I mean, every semester. When my turn came, our preaching professor left. All right? He left, and I was like, who's going to teach? And the school cannot find a preaching professor to teach preaching. So we had this other professor who was not a preaching professor. All right? And then he came to the class and said, you know, I don't know how to teach you preaching. I said, good, you know. And, but what I will do, the best way to learn preaching is to preach. All right? Right. That's why I tell you, that's a good advice. You know, people say, how to learn English? I say, you know, the best way to learn English is to talk in English, right? So he came and said, he said, the best way to learn preaching is to preach. And so what we did, two preaching classes that we did, all of us, we went there was this, we would preach, right? We would just preach. We had one book to look through, and we preach. And what he did, I'll do a favor. I will videotape you guys, right? So you have your video so you can see and correct yourself, right? Because when you see yourself in video, you can. So we preach. At the end of the semester, I preached like twice. And end of the semester, I got my preaching tape. I was like, all right, let me see how I preached. So I went home, popped in the CD, looked at myself preaching. I was depressed. I was, Lord, this is not good. I looked at myself, and guess what I did? I looked at the second preaching. I said, Lord, I knew it. I cannot preach. I knew it. What I did, I took the tape, broke it, and threw it in the trash. I said, I'd never want to see that again. Okay, I don't want my children to see it. I don't want my grandchildren to see it. That is such a terrible preacher. And so one time I preached in the school, and this was earlier. And so after this, I went to one of the professors. I said, hey, how did you like my preaching? And guess what he says? He said, you will get better. I said, all right. And so when all this happened, that's when I came to JSEM. Okay? I had very little pastoral experience. I had very little preaching experience. I didn't know how to preach. And I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do? I said, Lord, even if I take over, because I was here already for a year, and even if I do take over the pastor, people are going to leave. Only me and Changnunim at the back will be left. Because even Brian Kim was supposed to leave. Everybody was supposed to leave. But during that time, I remember praying. I said, Lord, I cannot do this. All right, I cannot do this. I cannot go through this. And please don't put me through this. I started praying and praying and praying. The whole time, God was like, you have to. You have to trust me. You have to trust me. And then what happened? I said, Lord, still I was like, no, 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 no. But then, you know, when Pastor Dave learned, I took over. And some of you heard my preaching. Guess where I learned my preaching? At JSEM. I was practicing on you guys. All right? And so every week, like, preaching was, it's not something that I was looking forward, I would look forward to. I said, Lord, again, I have to preach one more Sunday. And I remember preaching. I said, Lord, I don't want to do this. You know, like every weekend, people will come to me and say, Pastor Sam, what was your point today? some of you still ask me that, right? You say, oh, you haven't changed much. What was your point today? I say, you didn't hear my message? And I'm like, yeah, what was my point? And so that's what happened. And during this time, and when Pastor Dave left for his honeymoon, and you know, God started putting very strongly in my heart that I need to stay. To the point that I knew if I would ignore that, but I'll honestly tell you, there's not 1%, one bit in my heart that I wanted to stay. It's not that I didn't want to stay, but I knew if I took over, it's like you're stepping out of the boat and sure that you will drown. I said, Lord, first thing, everybody would leave, all right? It's just me and Changnunim, and Changnunim will be, you know, praising God from the back, and I will be preaching here, and there's no worship leader here, you know, just me enjoying it. And then I just prayed and prayed, and I said, Lord, if you really want me to do it, I will do it, but you need to give me some more confirmation. So what I did, I asked a few people, all right? I said, Lord, I will go and ask 5 people and say, hey, I'm leaving the church. This is our situation. If you really want JSEM to exist, if you really want it to continue, if you really want me to put through this, everybody should look at me and say, you have to stay. And I'm going to tell them that I am leaving, right? So I chose like 5 people. I went and talked to each one of them. And I was hoping that at least, I told them, Lord, all of them, all right? I want to make it as hard as I can on God. And guess what happened? All of them looked at me and said, Sam, even if you're the only person left, you need to stay. And I remember this cloud of depression. Now it's funny, but that time I was overtaken by fear. And I said, Lord, what are you thinking? You know, what are you doing with my life? First thing, you know, I don't think I have I can do a lead pastor. I don't have experience. I can't preach well, right? I can't do all these things. You know, I don't think I have a pastoral gift. You know, although I have the calling, you need to develop me first. You know, let me work under somebody under whom I can learn first before you put me in a position like this. And there's a group of people looking at a pastor who doesn't know how to preach. That's not a good thing, all right? And so as we went through it, but during this time, you know, God like was breaking me. That's what I want to talk to you today about, right? I needed to go through that. Every week I would remember, and the worst thing, okay, by the way, I want to recognize a few people. When I decided to stay, I shared with Dustin, all right? And he's one of the, he's a man that I love. One of the things is he has always been supportive to me, right? And of course, God has put in my, one of the things he says, Sam, if you stay as your friend, I will stay with you. So I say, okay, Lord, I have at least one more person. All right, at least two. And then we went on and on and on. And so when the transition happened, I did not expect even one person to stay. All right? I thought everybody would leave, and this church will, I'm going to start the ministry from the scratch, and it's going to grow. I remember talking to Muksanim. I said, Muksanim, after making this decision, after I knew that I cannot go against, I said, Lord, I will stay. And I called Changnonim, I called Muksani and Thani. I said, okay, you know, I will stay. And then I remember going to Muksanim and saying, Muksanim, okay, I'm willing to stay, but people would leave. So he said, that's okay. He said, you know, whatever people stay, you pastor them. I said, okay, no, I'll just do that. And during this time when this happened, I was like praying and praying and praying. But during this time, God really used this time to break me. Okay, break my confidence. I didn't have much anyway. But whatever I had, it was like completely gone. And I remember thinking one day, I said, Lord, how long is this going to continue like this? All right? How long? Because there's not too many people I can turn to. I shared with one of the church girls, you know, like we are taking, I say, you know, she said, Pastor Sam, if you are like that, what about me? What about us? I say, okay, so that means I can't dump everything on them. All right? That won't be cool. At least on a pastor, I should be up. But, you know, one of the amazing things is God brought Dustin, God brought other people. And another person I really want to recognize is Samonim. Okay? At those times, she was like a strength to me. Is Samonim here? Okay, she's not here. But it's one of the things, because when I was going through and I was hearing all this stuff, people talking about all that, and she was hearing it, but not one time did she come with any criticism. You know, she came to me and said, Sam, you're doing it. You know, you just keep going forward. You know, Eva, like, you're a wonderful pastor, you know, and keep going forward, you know, like. And then other people, and then I knew a lot of people in the church were praying for me. Okay? I couldn't talk to many people, but what I want to think, who are the 86er girls? 86er girls. Stand up. Where are all the 86s? There were more of you. They left? Okay, there are a few men at the back. One other thing I remember very clearly. Okay, now you can sit down. You're like standing like this, and okay. All right. Well, during that time, one thing I remember very clearly is like they were fasting and praying for me. All right, I'm not going to cry. But not only them. But I remember, and that I remember was such an encouragement to me. Because that time what I needed was a support. And when I was so tired, I remember, Lord, people are praying for me. And I remember coming before God, he said, Lord, I know there are people who are praying for me. I know you want me to go through this, right? And throughout all these things, one thing God told me, and to make it worse, after this transition happened, people started leaving. Okay, leaving, and the church started shrinking. Every Sunday I would say, okay, probably next Sunday there will be nobody here. All right? And it was, for those of you, you know, who are here, you know it was a very hard transition. Right? It was time where, you know, and I believe God uses, you know, now God uses everything for his glory. Right? And we needed to go as a church. And God had put and pastor's days hard to plant a new church. And as a friend and as a brother, I wanted to support him. And I from my heart, I did that. Because one thing I know about him, he's a man of God, and he's not doing anything for his own glory. But God had put a vision in his heart. All right? So we did that. But for me, I was going through fire. I mean, I remember one time, I said, Lord, my back hurts. All right, I'm not a guy who get easily stressed out, as some of you know that, right? But I couldn't literally touch my back. It's like, so it hurts so much. But my brother and sister, what I'm going to tell you today is during that time, God broke my confidence. I remember feeling this deep sense of inadequacy. He said, Lord, I cannot do it. I don't have the ability. And Lord, why are you putting me through this, all this thing? Then God used many people. One of the people that God used was Rick Warren. He was sending me emails, all right? Not personal emails. All right, that would be cool if he sent some personal emails for encouragement. But I needed support during that time. So what I did, I want to learn from other pastors because there's not too many people that I know that I could go. So what I did, I signed up for a lot of emails that pastors send out. So one of them was Rick Warren, right? He would send out this weekly, thing encouraging the pastors. And one of the messages, I really needed it. He shared when he started his ministry, he was going through the same thing. He didn't feel that he had the courage. He didn't feel it. You know, my biggest weakness was people used to make fun of me because I stammer a lot. Okay, I was like, my brother always tells me, I mean, he's my best friend, and he's not trying to put me down. And he said, why do you stammer? Because even when I talked on the phone, I said, Lord, this is not good. All right? But Rick Warren said one of his biggest challenges during the first year of his ministry was speaking. Right? He would come on stage, and every Sunday he said, Lord, I cannot do it. I cannot preach. And he had a serious problem. Like, he couldn't preach. He was so afraid that he would come here, come to the stage, and not able to speak and embarrass himself. And he was sharing about for a year, there was this cloud of depression over him. He said, look, and so many times, he said, the ministry, he said, he came to the point of, like, quitting. He said, Lord, I cannot do it. I'm not the right person for it. Please choose someone else. So when I read that, I said, okay. One thing, it's good to hear that you're not the only one person going through it, all right? That's a good thing. And that's what the Bible says. God doesn't put you in temptation. And it says it's common to man, all right? What you're going through, it was so encouraging me to hear about that Rick Warren, whom I respect so much as a pastor, went through it, right? But one thing he said, hey, no matter what happened, God doesn't want you to give up, all right? You need to stay strong and stay courageous. And when I started doing all this, God also started reminding me, and that's what I'm going to share now the preaching part begins, all right? God also started reminding me of the people in the Bible, right? So I said, Lord, as a pastor, I should feel confident because people are waiting on me, okay? If I'm not confident, if I'm not strong enough, people cannot trust me, and people cannot depend on me. So I started praying for them. But then God started reminding me of all the people in the Bible. All right, turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, There are a lot of people in the Bible. Almost everybody, when God called them, they felt this deep sense of inadequacy. This deep sense of, Lord, I cannot do it. All right, chapter 3, verse 4. Let me go ahead and read that. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to, this is right after the burning bush. Chapter 3, verse 4. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and I have heard them cry out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. Verse 8. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, and all the Hittites. All right, and verse 9. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way Egyptians are oppressing them. Verse 10. So now go, like you go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. All right. What is Moses' response? But Moses said to God, Lord, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And if you read later, he started giving all these excuses. He said, Lord, you want me to go speak? I cannot even speak. I stammer and stutter, right? They don't even know me. Like, how am I going to do this? And he gives all these different excuses why he's not the right guy. He was basically telling God, he said, Lord, you chose the wrong guy, all right? You put, you know, I was born in the wrong way. You put the wrong guy, you know, and do it again, Lord, all right? Use someone else. But what's funny is the same guy, where did Moses grow up? In a palace, right? In a palace. Same guy, now he has no confidence. But the same guy before, what happened? He saw the misery of his people. When he grew up, he said, like, man, you know, I'm a Jew and these guys are Jew. And then, you know, see, they've been mistreated. What he did, he said, well, I have the best education. You know, I can negotiate. You know, I graduated from the Sun Temple. That's like Harvard of his time, right? And I grew up in the palace. If anybody can, if God had gone to him before, this is what he would have said. If anybody, and I grew up in the Pharaoh's home. If anybody can talk to Pharaoh, it's me, all right? I'm the qualified guy, and I can do it, right? And what he did, he saw the misery of his people, and he tried to do it on his own. What did he do? He saw an Egyptian and a Jewish guy fighting, and he went and did what? He killed the other guy. He's like, if you do that, I'm gonna kill you. All right. The same guy who was so confident before is standing today, has no confidence. Right? My brothers and sisters, God brings you to the point. You look at everybody, people's life, God in your life. Doesn't matter who you are, God will always, you know, we are self-confident people, and that's what we are taught. You need to be self-confident. But God will always bring you to a point. This will, it has not happened, it will happen. God will bring you to a point where you will realize your inadequacy. You would realize that you can't do it. You would realize that the world is falling apart. And you have this sense of what's happening to me. Okay? That's where. And then during that time when God told Moses, Lord, I can't do it. But God had to bring him to that point of surrender before him. Because before he was a self-confident guy thinking that, man, I can conquer the world. Right? You know, taking care of those Egyptians. I grew up in the Pharaoh. I have the best education. I can do it. God took him through a desert period, all right? And during that desert period, what did God do? Stripped him off of all his self-confidence, right? Just stripped him off. And then God meets him where? At the burning bush. And now when God says now, he's like scared to death. And he doesn't think that he's the person. And he get all of it. Unless you come to a point of brokenness and nothingness, God can't use you, my brothers and sisters. Only when you come to a point and you say, Lord, I'm nothing. I can't do it. Right? When you, and that's what I preached a long time ago. It's a surrender. And I think God takes us through a desert period to bring us to that point. Right? That's why I shared before you. God says, God took Israelites into the desert. Why? In Deuteronomy, what did God say? I took you through this to humble you, to break your confidence in yourself. Right? And when, so that when you go to the promised land, you will not forget that I'm your God, and man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by a lot of money alone. God shall not, you know, man shall not live by, you know, clothes alone, whatever that is. But my word and my promises, right? Same thing God is doing in Moses' life now, right? God took him to a desert period. I mean, he's like a nomad, doesn't have a place. God stripped him of his confidence, and then God calls him. And he said, Lord, me? I can't even talk. What will I even say? I have no name behind me. What will I say? Hey, if they ask me, where are you from? I don't have even nothing to say. But you know how God says, if you go, sell them, I have sent you. But look later. Verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? What is God's answer to Moses' question? Who am I? And God said, I will be with you. All right? Now, God brings them to his point, strips them of all his self-confidence, and now he's like, Lord, I can't do anything. And I said, God says, okay, now I can use you. Now, I am with you. So now, you don't have to worry about what you can do. Because you are just my instrument. You are just my messenger. Right? Don't think of what you can do. Think about what I can do through you. There's a big difference with that. Because when you think what I can do, you're depending on your own self-confidence. Okay, I know this, I do this, I can know this, I know that. I have this weakness, I have that strength. But God brought him to a point, and he said, to a point of nothingness. And that, my brother and sister, is surrender. And I've told that many times to you, that your life begins when you surrender. Your life starts, you start living your life the way God wants you, when you surrender your life to God and say, Lord, I don't have what it takes unless you enable me. And that time, God comes along and said, I will be with you. It's not who you are, but who I am. And God gave him signs of assurance of his presence with Moses. Now, coming back to my story, God really spoke to me through this verse, this passage. I came to a point, he said, Lord, I can't do it. I don't have the strength. God says, this is what I wanted in you. God broke my self-confidence, and he said, I'll be with you. And I remember I was just meditating. It's just like I was so discouraged. But God made a promise, and that changed my total attitude. God says, my presence will be with you, and my presence will be with JSCM. And when I heard that, and when I said, I was like, Lord, if you are with me, and if you promise to be with me, I'm not going to worry about it again. And I'm just going to trust you. It's not how good of a speaker I am. It's not how good of a leader I am. But it's what you want to do through me. And that revolutionized the way I started thinking. Right? Because I realized it's not I was appointed, but it's God who appointed me. Right? It's not what I can do, but it's what God can do through me. The Bible says, without faith, actually one of the verses that God spoke to me is like Proverbs 3:5-6. I told you, right? He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. All right? Let's go ahead and read that together. Go ahead and read that together. We already read the other passage from Psalm 27. Proverbs 3:5. If you haven't marked it, just mark it in your Bible. All right, ready? Shijak. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. All right? It says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Everybody say, all your heart. Not just a little bit. Okay, Lord, I'm going to trust this, 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 and also trust you. All right? For this area, I can trust you. But for this, Lord, it's kind of hard. Right? You cannot divide your trust like that. And that was said, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. What is lean not on your own understanding? It's thinking, Lord, trying to figure out on your own how things can work out, right? It's like, all right, I can be a pastor because I have this, 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 this. I cannot do this because I have this, 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 right? It's not bad to look at your strengths and weaknesses, right? But you cannot decide or come to the conclusion how God can use you based on your strengths and weaknesses, all right? I think I told you before, God can do, he's a sovereign God. God can use anybody, right? God raised Joseph in a desert and in a prison to use him in a palace, right? And God raised Moses in a palace to use him in a desert. I don't understand that, do you? For me, a person going in the desert is the best place to lead the people in the desert. But God educated him in a sun temple and in a royal palace and uses him in a desert. Right? So God ways. So you cannot decide on your own strength or what you can do. Right? And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Right? Without faith, it's impossible to feed God. And it says, if you have faith, everything is possible. Now, what is faith? What is faith? Faith is simply believing God for who he is. Right? Someone say, Lord, faith, you know, like sounds like a big concept. What is faith? Faith is simply trusting God for who he is. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. All right? Not just in your mind, but you need to believe in your heart there is a God. All right? And he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Right? So you must believe in your heart. You say, you know, I told you before, when we worry, we are practical atheists. All right? When you're worrying, you're a practical atheist, because at that point you're thinking, oh, God is there, but I don't really believe. If you really believe in your heart, why would you worry? Does it make sense? If I really believe that God says who he is, and if I take him at his word, that will take care of the problems in our life, wouldn't it? Faith is acknowledging his existence. It is a strong confidence in God. That's what faith is. It's that, Lord, not me, but my confidence is in you. And the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. On the other hand, if you put it in, with faith, God is pleased. When you come before God, you say, Lord, not my ability I can do, but Lord, is not my self-confidence, but my confidence is in you and in you alone. It simply keep looking at Jesus. Where do you get your faith? Lord, increase my faith. Lord, download some faith in me. How does it happen? Does it just like God, like you all of a sudden you are just man of faith? How does God produce faith in your heart? That is by looking at Jesus. Right? When you look to Jesus, that's when your faith increases. Because at that time, you're not depending on who you are, but who God is. And what a faith booster is that? Because so far, you're thinking, oh, what I can do, what about this, what about that? But then you say, hey, there is a God who loves me and cares for me, and I'm going to believe in him. And I'm not going to place my confidence in myself, but I'm going to place all my confidence and all my trust and all my faith in this God. A God who loves me and a God who cares for me. It is simply keeping looking at Jesus, not looking at ourselves and our circumstances or other people, but keep moving forward. Now, one of the guys I like in the Bible, I like a lot of guys, but one of them is definitely Peter. Because Peter was a little impulsive, and some of you know I am sometimes. Right? He always wanted to try. He liked adventure. One day what happened? Jesus came walking in the water, and everybody said, oh, ghost! You know, it's kind of scary at night, you know, if you see somebody walking in the water, right? We look at Peter and say, like, did you know that was Jesus? But try it on your own, you know? You're alone in the middle of the, you know, in the sea, and there's a wide, I don't know what he looked like, but he's just walking, on the water. And he like, disciple like, go. And Jesus said, what? Fear not, it's me. Don't be afraid, it's me. Then Peter, he said, Peter thought, man, it's so cool to walk in water. All right, he's like, let me try a little bit, you know. And he said, hey, can I walk in the water too? What did Jesus say? No, you can. What did he say? Come. Right? Come. But in order to walk on the water, what did he have to do? Have faith. Right? I'll tell you what, it's not an easy thing to do. A bunch of us went bungee jumping. So far, I thought, man, if so, you know, all you need to do is just go up there, there's a rope area behind, and you just jump. And I was like, why are the people scared? I'll do it. I went there, and I was like, okay. I asked the guy, hey, can I run and jump? He said, sure, go ahead. I said, all right, I will run, and, you know, have a, like, I saw David Pio there. Where is Pio? Yeah, he was at the back. He just ran and just like, just flying like an eagle. And I said, all right, I can do it too. You know, he's a lighter guy, right? He can fly. So I went like jumping, like, whoa. I saw this thing. I said, I was like holding on to it. And people there said, yeah, go, Pastor Sam, Suma, Suma, Suma. Who was it? And I said, Lord, okay. This is all in the video. I can't disappoint my girl. So I went and jumped, and but it was so hard, although I knew that there's something holding me at the back, all right? And I saw on YouTube this guy doing it in Nepal, right? Here they had all this company, you know, they were asking your weight and all this thing, and, you know, the rope looks pretty good, and, you know, it's pretty brand new. But in Nepal, I saw this guy jumping, and this rope was almost half torn. And this guy, it's like, it's squeaky. And he's just jumped. I said, Lord, I can't do this. You can't trust on that thing. But here, it's okay, right? I knew that there's something holding me at the back, right? They put all this in you know, your weight and all this thing. And one thing I'm afraid, you know, they are like not too many Koreans who are as big as me, you know? If the weight was like, I said, Lord, so that's why I told people, let me go first. If I survive, you guys got no problem for you. But then, so what I'm saying is like, although you think easy, but when you just jump, do I have faith or not? Yes or no? Yes. Faith on what? Rope. That rope would hold me. Right? If I didn't have the faith, I would not jump it. Okay? I would not. No matter, I said, Lord, okay, the rope better be strong. All right? I looked at it, and people have jumped before. You know, they have 1,000 people who have jumped before. I'm like, okay, it's probably not going to happen. All right? I'm not going to create history. Hopefully not. All right? And then you just jump. But same thing with Peter. I don't think it was easy to step on water, right? It was not like you tried, you know, just like somebody say, hey, just walk in the water. And you just jump. But he looked at Jesus, and by faith, he walked on the water. And he started walking and walking and walking and walking. So far, he was looking at Jesus, right? But then after, sometimes what happened? He's looking at the waves or whatever that is. It's like, you know, fishes are going by. He said, what am I doing, you know? Walking on water. And he looked around, and he took his eyes off Jesus. What happened? He started drowning. He said, Lord, help me. As long as he was looking to Jesus, his faith was strong. All right? Because when he was looking at Jesus, the faith was being downloaded into his heart. Because faith is not a blind faith. You know, our faith is not a blind faith. Our faith is on the person. It's on Jesus. So when people tell you, oh, you know, Christians have blind faith. I said, no, it's not blind. Your faith is blind. You know? Like, you believe that everything in the world just popped out of nowhere, and you came out of monkey, and you think that's faith. But my faith is on this God who has never proved me wrong. Who has never failed me. And I can trust him. And you know, if you read through the Old Testament, one of the biggest complaints that God had about Israelites is, you did not trust me. And it says all the time, because they did not trust him, the enemies conquered. Because they didn't trust him, there. See there. And then on the other hand, it says, because they trusted him, God rescued them. Because they trusted, whatever that is, right? Go look it up in your Bible, in your Bible gateway. Just type trust, and it will give you all the trust. That's what I do when I prepare my sermon. You know, like, I just give me a little. Now I'm learning how to prepare my messages, you know? Come a long way. And so then as you do that, right? So when he started walking the water, as long as he looked to Jesus, he was confident, right? God brings you to this point of nothingness. But praise God, God does not leave you there. All right? There's a reason that God brings you to the point of nothingness, but his purpose is not to leave and for you to wallow in self-pity. What is he trying to do? That you will look to Jesus. That you will not look to yourself, that you will not look to your friends, that you will not look to the situation, but so that you will turn your eyes not around you, but on Jesus. Because if you look at people, if you look at situation, what happens? Fear takes over. Fear and faith don't go together. Right? Either you can be a man of fear, or you can be a man of faith. My brother and sister, what God is calling you for us to is to trust him and be a man of faith. Your faith gives you confidence. Some of you are like, oh, I like confidence. And what you do is like read the books on self-confidence. I'll tell you how to boost your confidence. Trust in Jesus wholeheartedly. If you believe in God, and if you really believe God says who he is, there will be no fear. Peter walked in the water, and a lot of us, we are still staying in the boat. Because we are so afraid to trust God and step into the water. My brothers and sisters, walking on water is not an option for a Christian. Walking by faith is not an option for a Christian. It's like, okay, let me choose it. Do I want to stay in boat, or do I want to walk on water? God calls you to walk on water. You cannot decide, oh, I'll walk by faith, or I cannot walk by faith. If you are a Christian, if you have been called by God, God calls you to step out of your boat and walk in water and trust him. A lot of your lives are so boring because you don't like adventure, do you? You don't like bungee jumping. That will make your life a little interesting. A lot of us, we are like, Lord, why are you not working in my life? Why? One of the reasons, we are not stepping out. When God calls us, we are so afraid. And that's exactly what happened to me. I said, Lord, I'm going to step out of this boat, take over this church. The next thing I know, the church would go down. I was so sure of it. A man of big faith that I was. Yeah. But then, you know, as I started looking, as God changed my heart and I started looking to Jesus, I said, Lord, it's not about me. It's not about what I want to do. If God has chosen me, if God wants to run this church, I'm going to take it to the next level where God wants it to go. Amen? And when that happens, it completely changes your perspective. Spurgeon said, brothers, if you do not believe in anybody else, Spurgeon was a great preacher, I think of the 17th century. Brothers, if you do not believe in anybody else, believe in God without a stint. Believe to the hilt. Bury yourself both as your weaknesses and strength in simple trust in God. I think it's powerful. He said, bury your strength and your weakness. I'll read it. Brothers, if you do not believe in anybody else, believe in God without a stint. Believe to the hilt. Bury yourself both as your weakness and strength and in simple trust in God. Why are we not willing to step out of the boat? Why? Uncertainty. Because you don't know if you step out what your life is going to turn out. You don't know if your life, you know, if you go into the ministry or if you go to mission, what your life would be. Everything, what I told you before, if you are a Christian, you need to learn to embrace uncertainty. You need to take risk. Because a lot of us, we are so trying to play it safe that we are not used by God, because God does not use people who want to play it safe. God wants to use people who are willing to step out of by faith and who are willing to walk on water looking at Jesus. And even if you do drown, Jesus is there to pull you up. He was not looking at Peter and say, "Oh, look at you. We're not looking at me. Now you look at, look, drown. All right, drown some more." I would do that. It's like, I told you to look at me. You know, now you pay for yourself. All right. And I will wait a little while for him to, you know, make sure he will feel it. But what did Jesus do? Jesus reached out in hand ready and pulled him up. So, you know, that's the wonderful love of God. We walk by faith, even when we do fall, his everlasting arms are underneath, holding us up. So there's no fear. You know, there's no fear. You can just walk because our future is certain. Because our future is certain, that can give us strength to face some uncertainty. As somebody said, I don't know what my future holds, but I know that my God holds my future. So a lot of us, like, what will happen? What will happen? We try to figure out it. And because of that, we don't step out. We don't share the gospel with people. Because what if they get angry? What if they're not going to listen? What if? What if they do? What if God works through you? To quote Spurgeon again, he said, "It is essential that we should exhibit faith in the form of confidence in God." And I'll read that again. As I was reading this, I said, "It is essential that we should exhibit faith in the form of confidence in God. A confident faith in the power of God. A confident faith in the word of God. A confident faith in the promises of God. A confident faith in the providence of God." So when you go out and when you look to God and say, "Lord, I'm not depending on my power, but I'm depending on your power. I'm not depending on my word or someone else's word or someone sent to me, but I depend on your word. Lord, I don't look to some promises that people have made and broken or somebody has said something, but I hinge myself on your promises. And Lord, I don't care the turns that my life has taken and the way things are happening in my life, because I know that you are a God of providence. That even when things turn the way and people, you know, do bad things to me, but you will bring it all around for the good, for my good and for your glory." That is, my brother and sister, is a life of faith. That is what God has called you to do. Don't just stay in the boat and just say, and be uncertain, when there's so much more that God wants to do in your life. When God has humbled and cleaned of your self-confidence, God instills in you a strong faith, a long-lived confidence, not in yourself, but through the knowledge that he is with you, that he is on your side. And God, my brothers and sisters, is on your side. Did you know that? And that's what Romans 8 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? That brings some confidence, don't you think? If God is on my side, who can be against my God? Even if they are against, why do I care? As long as I'm doing God's will, I'm going God's ways, if God is with me, don't think about what you can do. Think about what God can do. Self-confidence leads to pride and arrogance. If you see an arrogant person, you see a self-confident person. A person who thinks that I am right, I can do it. That leads to, you think big of you, it leads to pride. And then all you are looking is for your own glory. But a God confidence leads to humility and worship. Because when God starts using you, you're not thinking, it's me. You think, "Lord, I was not worthy. You made me worthy, and you are using me." So the glory doesn't go to me. The glory goes to you, God. Glory goes to you. I told you before, every blessing in your life can turn into pride or can turn into praise. Pride comes when you think that it's because of you. It's because of your talent. It's because of you speak. Or it's about your ability. But it turns into praise when you know that, "Lord, it's not me, but it is you." If you're going through a desert period right now, let me tell you, God has brought you there for a reason. It's because he loves you. And he wants to strip you of all of your confidence. Don't go and just, you know, attend a self-confidence seminar. That won't help you, I'll tell you that. right? Don't try to figure out how to do all the tricky things to make yourself confident. What you need to today is come to God and say, Lord, I choose. Thank you for bringing me to this point in my life. I choose not to trust in my own confidence, but I choose to put my faith in you and in you alone. Not in my situation, not on other people, not on my parents, not on my brother and sister, not on my friends, not on anybody else, but on you and in you alone. If you lack courage and confidence today, if you're bogged down with fear and doubt, this is what you got to do. Someone said, your confidence and dependence of God is a flowing fountain of success. My brothers and sisters, I want all of us to be like Moses. I'm going to end. Just turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 5. I just want to read to you at the end of his life how God used Moses. A man who was so, terrified, a man who was so, lack of self-confidence. But then God said, I am with you. And he trusted God. Look at what happened. Deuteronomy 34, starting verse 5. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab. As the Lord had said, he buried him in Moab in the valley opposite to Beth-Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. All right? He died strong. Verse 10. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord... Verse 10. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Moses is the person, because he trusted God wholeheartedly, he was the only person who had it. He saw God face to face. All right? That was it. Who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. No one did it. How did he do it? Trusting God. And one time I was feeling kind of bad for this guy. I said, Lord, he couldn't see the promised land. I said, Lord, I kind of feel bad for this guy. I mean, he did all these things. Come on. And you used him so greatly. But why can't you just show him a little promised land? What was so big about that? But then I was reminded. Moses died, and who buried him? It was God himself. And God took him with him to the real promised land. All right? God says, man, you're done here. Why do you want to just look at this promised land? I'll show you the real promised land. Come up. And God himself buried him. And he was rejoicing. And he died strong. And he died full of faith. Looking back, I'm so happy that God gave me the courage to not keep my fears stopping me from what God wants to do in this church. And what God most, if you read in the verse that we read, God says, later, he was looking for some kind of sign. God said, hey, one day you will see these millions of people on this mountain worshiping me. That will be your sign. He's like, give me a sign before. God says, no, my sign will be after. Now you trust me, right? Is the right next verse. Right? He said, now you just trust me and walk by faith. One day you will see these millions of people following me and worshiping me. That will be your sign at the end. And as Moses was looking later, he said, Lord, thank you for helping me. And as I look off you, that's how I feel. I think God has done some amazing things in this church. God has blessed us, and God will continue to bless us. And let all glory and honor go to his name. Amen. I went a little too long, but let's go. I'll stand up. It's my last message.